The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Wait, you stand on that?
Well, and you walk on it.
Well, yeah.
But I'm on it, and you guys are walking on the just regular.
Okay, I was about to say, if you in the airport are standing on that thing,
I will have you know that there is a stand lane and there is a walk lane, and it says it very clearly in letters on the ground.
Everybody should be walking.
Sometimes you're tired, though, Gabe.
I don't care.
We'll never make it. I'll leave tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Are you crazy? No, now, let's go, You get dressed.
Can I shower?
Shower? You have your mind?
Well, I got a shower. I don't feel dirty all day.
No, forget the shower. The shower's out. Just move it. Put your clothes on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I speed walk through the airport. First of all, I'm always late for my flights.
Oh, shocking.
I was almost late for this show.
Can we get a breaking news sounder? Jen running behind?
Breaking news.
This almost is
what percent of the time would you say that I am late for our production meeting in the morning?
Yes.
Oh, man, I can't remember the last time you were here.
My brown sweater.
What sweater?
My brown sweater.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
There's no Mark Chamora.
Big guy's not going to be back until later next week.
There's no Jen Latta. You can catch her college football live later today on ESPN because she's big time. Just me, Gabe Neitzel, hanging out with our old pal, Uncle Homer.
Well, aren't I Jen Latta on Friday?
But yeah, technically, you're sitting in Jen's chair. You're filling in for Jen.
So it's just like broadcasting transgender? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think so.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, let's go over there.
That's good.
So,
isn't it? Isn't it everything good? Everybody should be happy. I'm happy.
No, I'm happy. But there's this narrative out there that I know Jen has kind of tried to put it out there at times on our show, and it's kind of hanging out there. And Marcus Spears on NFL Live yesterday kind of continued to push this narrative about the Green Bay Packers.
We now talking about top-tier teams. Obviously, right. Green Bay is going to be a playoff team, and Aaron Rodgers gives you confidence that when the game needs to be 40-40, they can do it. But right now, it's the Bengals. You score 22, and you go kick for kick. You could lose that game. You look at Chicago, a little slow start. What I liked about what you said, Dio, against Chicago, they were multiple. They decided to run the ball. They got Dylan involved. They got, obviously, Aaron Jones, who's heavily involved. So you see them morphing a little bit. But I'm concerned because when I look at the Cardinals, I look at the Cowboys, those are offenses that can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field.
Yeah, own the ball.
Own the ball. When you start talking about pushing forward in playoff time.
So, and if I feel like this is a repeat of 2019. We've had the conversation this week because Aaron Rodgers brought up 2010. Feels a lot like 2019 where the Packers are winning and everything. Well, I mean, are they really that good? And then the Packers end up in the NFC Championship game. But my question out there to all of our fans and to you, Homer, 800-990-3776 is the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. It's a simple question. The Packers are sitting there at 5-1. The best team they've probably played is the Bengals, in which they won that game 25-22. They've got a tough stretch of schedule after Washington coming up. They're going to play the Cardinals. They're going to play the Chiefs. They're going to play the Seahawks, maybe with Russell Wilson, who knows. They're going to be playing the Rams. They've got the Ravens. Like, the second half of the schedule, there are a lot of really good teams that live on that second half of the schedule for the Packers. So my question, as we sit here about a third of the way through the season, do you trust the Packers? Do you trust the Packers? 800-990-3776. When it comes to a big game during the regular season, do you trust the 2021 Green Bay Packers?
Kind of.
I don't know if that's how trust works, is it? You trust someone or you don't trust
them.
If it's kind of, then it's a no.
Well, but I thought he was talking about the offense.
His point there, I think, is like he thinks that, yeah, the offense is going to be fine, but like when they run up against a good team, are they actually going to be good enough to hang? I think that's what he was saying, because he's talking about the offenses of the Cowboys, the Cardinals. If you end up playing those teams, those offenses are going to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field because the Packers may not be able to score.
Well, maybe they won't keep him off the field. They'll score quickly. I don't know how long it'll take. Every year is the same to me. It's how good is the defense going to be? And that's. But I would tell everyone that after this game, assuming they win it, the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks are going to be horrible. LaFleur's never lost back-to-back games. He's going to lose back-to-back games, and they're going to lose enough games where everybody's going to bring this up for the night. It's just going to be the schedule is so tough. They have 5 games where I'll gladly take 3-2.
You think they're going to lose back-to-back Cardinals-Chiefs?
I don't know which two it'll be, but he will lose 2 games, and then we'll say it's the first year he's ever lost back-to-back games.
I mean, that's the only one I can see, because at least, like, look, the Seahawks, even if Russ Wilson's back, I'm not scared of the Seahawks.
Yeah, but like, you have this stretch of tough games. There's so many tough games in there that, to me, yes, they're going to lose 2 in a row. So whatever we're discussing now, amplify it, because the Packers are going to be in a tougher area, and then it's going to be, is this team good enough? And we'll go, dude, we've been there before. You know, the defense gets better. They'll be fine. Last year, the defense did enough in the NFC Championship game, and the offense didn't come through when they created the turnovers on Brady. But the premise of are the Packers?
Do you trust the Packers?
Yeah. The answer is going to be no, and it's going to get stronger for the next 5 weeks. So prepare, Scabe.
Prepare to not trust the Packers.
For that to be the discussion. Yes, that's going to be the discussion. The Packers, again, are a good team, but not good enough. It's going to exist for the next, I don't know how many weeks. Even beyond that, after that, they got Baltimore.
Oh, they've got Baltimore. They've got Cleveland in there. They've got Baltimore and Cleveland back-to-back in December. Like, their December games are interesting because you have 3 division games and then the Ravens and Browns.
Yeah. And the Browns are clearly a good enough team that you think you can win. But it's a whole nother season now. And, yes, just accept that, and if Rodgers wants to put it that way, whichever year you picked and you did, that the negativity about the Packers, just get ready for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I remember 2019 very, I mean, they were...
No wins counted.
Yes. Well, I mean, because if the Packers beat you, then you're actually a good team. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they're 13-3, but they haven't really beat anyone, and then they still end up going to an NFC Championship game after beating the Seahawks in the divisional round. They were the number two seed in the NFC. Yeah. Now, that was different last year, despite also going 13-3. Why can't, after all this time, we just accept kind of almost what Marcus Spears said at the beginning? Like, they have Aaron Rodgers. They're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can trust them as much as you can trust just about any team right now.
And they're adding players. We'll see if the players help, but how much they help. But they're trying to make the defense better. The strength of LaFleur, to me, seems that, then granted, Rodgers are part of it, but there seems to be a consistency there. To have gone this far, I mean, his regular season number just gets more and more impressive. To go this long and have not lost 2 games in a row once, that's impressive. Even if you go, you know, even if you have good records, at some point, when the Packers owned the world and won their first Super Bowl with Brett Favre, they had back-to-back losses in the season.
They did. Which is something I love to throw in Chewy's face, because Chewy always likes to tell me that good teams don't lose back-to-back games, and they lost back-to-back games.
And they had injuries, and Andre Rison shows up.
Yeah.
But I remember that season because nobody had any doubts whatsoever. There was never – but that's partially because the whole season they were the top-ranked offense and defense. And if the Packers get up there the same way – somebody mentioned about 2010, the Packers never lost a game by like more than a touchdown or something, which would make sense because they were so good in terms of points given up. But
Yeah, their defense was that entire year. Their defense was solid. Like they had the shutout against the Jets, and that's the difference. Like, I know Aaron Rodgers brought it up, but that's the difference between now and 2010. Like 2010, they had injuries, and yes, they had injuries to starters. Like they had injuries to Tausch, and they had injuries to J-Mike, but they had so many weapons, they overcame J-Mike. You know, that year, they were already planning on moving on from Tausch sooner rather than later because they had drafted Brian Bulaga in the first round, and Bulaga stepped in seamlessly for Tausch at right tackle. Their big-time playmakers were healthy. They still had Rodgers. They still had Jennings. They still had James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Donald
and
Driver.
And defensively, they had
Charles Woodson, Nick Collins, and Clay Matthews, PJ Raji. Like, their top four, who were all difference makers and Pro Bowlers at different points in their careers. I mean, Charles Woodson was coming off of being the Defensive Player of the Year in 2009. Like, all those guys were healthy, whereas...
Yeah, name the four guys that the Packers have now like those four. I know it's how good that defense would have been with one of those guys instead of four. They have Kenny Clark right now.
They have Kenny Clark, who's, you know, Kenny Clark would be the B.J. Raji.
And
Za'Darius Smith would be the Clay Matthews. Yeah. Out. Probably not coming back for the rest of the year.
Jairus Woodson.
Out. Who knows if he's coming back? So, yeah, I mean, their big-time defensive playmakers are out. And to me, that's the difference. That's why I don't feel 2010 in this, because the Packers, while they did have 16 different guys end up on IR, the big-time difference makers are the ones that are injured this time around. And they've done actually a great job on the offensive line to overcome the David Bakhtiari injury, but defensively, it's a completely different story. 800-990-3776. Do you trust the Packers? Brett in Eau Claire hitting us up on the talk and text line saying, I say no. Right now, I see Green Bay as the fifth best team in the NFC.
Fifth?
Fifth?
Can you give me four that are better? I can think of two.
Dallas, Arizona.
Well, I'll say Dallas, Tampa Bay, Arizona, LA. So that would put them as the fifth best team.
You trust them all more than the Packers right now?
I put the Pack, just watching enough Tampa Bay games, like, Tampa Bay hasn't been overly impressive. Like, they've had to squeak by in a couple of those games, squeak by against Dallas, squeaked by against New England. Same thing with Dallas squeaking by against New England. Arizona and Los Angeles to me are the top tier, and then the Cowboys, Packers, and Bucks kind of are all in the, to me, kind of the same category.
And when you thought the Rams were going so good, then they played poorly. The premise to me is the Packers can beat any one of those teams. The issue is, can they beat a couple of them, or how many in a row would they have to beat to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's the challenge. But you one game, like any of those games that we went through on the tough part of the schedule,
yeah.
I think the Packers can win any of those games.
I don't think they can win Thursday.
Really?
I don't think they can beat the Cardinals right now.
The Cardinals at some point have to not be as good as you think they are.
Oh, 100%. But I think the Packers are going to catch them at that hot time. They're rolling. And I just have nightmares about Kevin King on DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that just, it seems, I could be wrong. I don't have the big guy here to kind of back me up on the football side of this. Seems like a bad matchup for Kevin King.
Yeah, I think, what do the Packers have to score to win that game? 35 plus.
Yes. Yeah. If they're going to win that game, it has to be a shootout. But again, but here's the other thing, and I have said this. Win or lose, I can't take much from that game because it's Thursday night. And Thursday nights are just super weird.
I'll join
like
that club.
Strange things happen. And we'll get into that a little bit later because, yes, I did watch last night's Broncos-Browns game. I watched Teddy Bridgewater versus Case Keenum on national television.
The Bucks were playing.
It's game two
also,
of regular season.
Baseball was on and soccer.
And soccer.
Soccer was on.
What was on?
The women's national team played Korean Republic, and they it was a draw at 0-0. You want to know about footballitis? I watched most of that.
I don't have an objection to soccer, but that's like a preseason game, right?
It's less than that.
So is the Bucks.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, come on.
No, the Bucks.
Not to mention, they're woo champions, so they deserve the right to say you should be watching a little bit of every game, which it was last night.
I watched the first three minutes.
And look, I'm going to watch a lot of the regular season games for the Bucks.
You didn't
want to
see him play Miami?
Okay. Not in
Drew
October.
Is out. Bobby's out.
No, you're watching Miami, not the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
See, and my question was going to be, how far can they be behind when you just don't watch anymore?
It was 22-3. That was the answer.
I caught it late in the first half. I think they were down 30 or it was near half. I can't watch.
It's October, man. Like, the playoffs start in 5 months. I'm going to watch plenty of Bucks games. I'm going to be entertained. But much like when we did the show together, Homer, when for the Packers, the regular season was the preseason, and the Bucks have reached that point. When you're the world champions.
You're right.
Excuse me. The world champions. The regular season is the preseason. It really doesn't. What happens in terms of the results don't matter a ton for the Bucks because they're good enough. They're going to win enough games that they're going to be a top two seed in the East.
I'll agree with that.
800-990-3776. Quickly,
but we Cleveland.
I mean, yeah, it's Case Keenum. I've got a problem, Homer. We're going to get to it. Alan in Milwaukee, you're on with Homer in Gabe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Alan?
Hey, the biggest thing that that I'm looking at is there was a stat that they popped up during the Cincinnati game about the red zone touchdown defense.
Oh, yeah, they've given up a touchdown. I believe it's 17 in a row now. 17, yeah, they've given up 17.
We just know that it's in a row.
Yeah,
it hasn't been interrupted in a while, Alan.
There's some pretty efficient and pretty red zone efficient quarterbacks coming up on the schedule. So that's to me, that's the biggest issue that's going to jump off the screen.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call, Alan. I guess that the one thing is that they've kind of kept teams out of the red zone. You know, they're giving up once they get there, they become just a swinging game.
Yeah, yardage, they're in the top five. Or yeah. What are they, four? Yes, they've
kept teams, for the most part, out of the red zone the last few
weeks.
No,
it's going to be bad. They're going to give up 40. They're going to be a couple bad games.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So let's see what happens. But
we continue to talk about the Green Bay Packers with our Packers guy, Jason Wilde, joins us next.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
Jason Allen's Lazard, Robert Tunyon's numbers. I kind of like that better than...
Ooh!
Okay, most of the time.
Almond specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. And by Offsite Collaboration Center of Brookfield and Nina. Visit theoffsitecc.com to learn more.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde as he joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Although there's no Jen, there's no Chewy, it's me, Gabe, along with Steve the Homer True, who you can hear on Homer and Tony every weekday afternoon on 94.5 ESPN from 2 until 4. Good morning, Jason. You're not driving or anything now, are you?
I am. I'm on my way back from taking the girls to school. I love the Homer and Gabe reunion, and you know, I think the world of Ashton Rotman, the executive producer of the Packers radio network and an all-around amazing guy. But I kind of feel like I should have talked to Pratik this morning.
We can call him if you want.
No, it's good. It's all good. He's got a lot on his plate.
Jason, the question I'm asking Packers fans, and I don't know, I mean, I think you can still answer this question, even though you're not a fan. Do you trust this Green Bay Packers team? Do you trust the 2021 Packers team against good opponents? Because that seems to be the new narrative. You have Marcus Spears saying, well, what's going to happen if they play a good team? I know people have thrown out, well, yeah, they're 5-1, but they haven't played any good teams. They haven't played anyone. Do you think that you can trust this Green Bay Packers team?
I think trust is earned. And I think they've earned some. But no, I don't think we should poo-poo 5-1, and I still think San Francisco, at the time they played them, I don't know what's going to happen to the rest of their season, and they're without Kittle again and everything else. But I think San Francisco is a good team. I think the Bengals are good seems like a strong word to use for them.
I think they're
potentially a good team.
They might be a playoff team in the AFC, Jason.
Yeah, they might be. So, you know, I don't think their resume is as thin as maybe some of the shouting shows would like you to think that it is. But at the same time, you know, look, the next 2 weeks after Sunday are when we're going to either say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have trusted them, or maybe we didn't really give them enough respect. Because you go into Arizona on a short week, and if you can go there and win, against what is at least currently an undefeated Arizona team, or you go into Kansas City, I don't care how you view them in terms of their defense and some of their struggles this season. Those are quality wins. I always say this, and I know it sounds bad, but I think every team is flawed. This is not 1996, where you knew that the Packers were far and away the best team in the NFC. And while there were possibilities that in a one-game playoff situation anything could happen, you kind of felt like they were destined to get to the Super Bowl that year. And, you know, I think Sports Illustrated picked Kansas City maybe that year on the other side, and Kansas City went 14-2 and then obviously lost in the playoffs. But I just think this is a different time where every team has its flaws, and it's whoever is able to cover them up the best. And most of the time, if you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you got somebody that can cover up most of the flaws, and that's what they have.
If they win at Arizona, they get a pass for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
That's all,
yeah.
And every time anything happened, hey, they won at Arizona when they're in, it's so that one game will stand, and it doesn't mean it would necessarily be accurate, but that's one that's going to be at the top of the resume, and everything else will be secondary because that will be an explanation for any struggle. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and two, you know, and I understand the way the sausage gets made, but like, it's amazing to me how something can be said on ESPN by one of the folks that are giving their opinion, and then it really does. It becomes like a day-long narrative for all the other shows, and I'm not sure that that's an accurate depiction of this team, but we're six games in. There's 11 to go. They don't have a bye until week 12. There's so much more for us to find out about this team that we don't know yet.
And I don't know how anybody can not be impressed with the injuries that they have and the record they've been able to have. If they would have lost more games, it would be justified to say, but wait, consider this, factor this in. Well, factor it all in, and they've still found ways to win games. I said, Gabe, everybody should be ready that you're going to have ripping up on the Packers is now going to exist for the next 8 weeks, because I think LaFleur is going to lose back-to-back games for the first time. Or the schedule's so tough, there are going to be enough instances where they're going to have bad things happen, and if you want to pick on the Packers, you're going to have more than enough opportunity.
All right, and one of the storylines right now is that they're picking up guys, veteran guys that have been released that in the past they wouldn't have done it, right? Well, that's great, and I'm part of that storyline. I've been talking about it and writing about it. But the fact that they have to do it also illustrates where they are injury-wise. Like, as much as we want to say, oh, well, look, Goody's been influenced by Rodgers or whatever you want to call it, the reality is maybe it's just desperation that has been created by the number of injuries they've had.
Well, out of that desperation, Jason, so when they went and got Jalen Smith, they sat him for a week, and then last week they got him in, you know, for just under 20 plays. They're slowly bringing him along. Based on where they are, just strictly on the number of bodies that they have at outside linebackers, Whitney Mercilus going to have to play on Sunday?
Yeah, if Preston Smith doesn't, there's no doubt he has to. But based on the way they talked yesterday, Matt LaFleur was really the only one that kind of downplayed it. Both Mike Smith and Joe Barry, and Whitney Mercilus for that matter, he's playing. Like, it may be 20 snaps, it may be 15 snaps, but they are fully planning on him playing right away. And, you know, I think I thought Joe Barry did a good job of explaining how, whereas Jalen Smith at inside linebacker, where there's all kinds of different things going on, it's not as if it's completely simple to play edge rusher, but there's some pretty simple, you know, principles that you have to adhere to. So they feel like it's much easier to get a guy who's an edge rusher out there immediately, and one that's played in the league 10 years and had success and everything else. So I don't think there's, I don't want to guarantee, because that's Homer's deal. I don't want to say 100%, but close to 100%, I think he's playing.
And he likes it. He talked to Randall Cobb, and I don't know why.
He's legit excited to be here. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, he knew the Randall Cobb story of his teammates telling him, gosh, you look like you just got out of prison. cop saying, well, and obviously Whitney Merciless spent a decade in Houston and was not going to go in that direction with his comments. But he, the laugh kind of said it all, that, yeah, you're 1-5, your quarterback is disgruntled and in some legal trouble. Yeah, this is a new lease on life to go to a team that's 5-1 and has Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
When's MVS going to be back? Just because I've seen, you know,
great question.
I've seen, you know, pictures from some of your other, you know, beat writer brethren, you know, tweet out pictures of him doing warm-up stuff, you know, individually, of course, not part of like the team warm-ups, but just kind of doing individual drills when they've been on the road these past couple of weeks. So when I saw that, I just kind of assumed he would practice this week and be ready to go as he was eligible to come off IR, but that's clearly not the case.
Yeah, he's apparently not ready, so maybe they're targeting the Arizona game, but he didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice yesterday, so that I think that ship has sailed for this week. And, you know, speaking of narratives, Gabe, the other one that has become one that folks have seized upon, and I know Matt Schneidman did a piece on it for The Athletic as well, is that how they're not getting as much deep ball production. I don't think that that's an unfair criticism, but I think there are reasons for that that are logical to me. One, your best deep ball guy is not on the field. And look, let's be clear. Rodgers missed him, what, 3 times in the first couple games before his hamstring acted up? So that's on the quarterback. And Rodgers, for whatever other faults he might have, fully admitted it. Like, he fully acknowledged that he had MVS open and he's the one who was at fault. So, you know, that those factor into your numbers.
And they don't have a number two guy.
And, yeah, they don't, like, I
not
know
a number
Alan
two
Lazard,
deep guy.
Yeah, there was a deep ball to Alan Lazard against the Bears that I think a lot of people thought should have been completed. I don't know the specifics of why it wasn't. It looked like Rodgers missed him, but there's other factors that go into that. The fact of the matter is that they don't have anybody that scares defense, right? I mean, the other guy that scares people is Davante Adams, and, you know, the Bears, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time on it this week, but the Bears finally seem to have found some measure of a recipe for stopping him, and then they still give up a 41-yard gain, right, down the stretch of the game. So, I know that we're always looking for, you know, trends and issues and concerns and storylines, but this, and I'm going to use it as one of my three things to watch in my preview in the State Journal on Sunday, but I don't know if we're at a crisis point with the deep ball so much as you don't have MVS. Defenses are playing a ton of cover two, which you're just an idiot if you try to throw a deep ball against Dicks. You're just asking to be intercepted. And until they have a guy that scares people the way MVS does in that realm, I don't know if we're going to see the deep ball be all that productive.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing you in 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, tell Pratik I said hi.
Most certainly will. Jason Wilde joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Discount Liquor has 2 locations, 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha on Barstow in Maine. And look, it's a football weekend. Might have some people over. Probably going to kick back, watch the games. You're going to need some drinks. You're going to have something to serve, and Discount Liquor, the place to go, because they have literally thousands of varieties of beer, liquor, and wine. Discount Liquor with unmatched selection, expert staff, and everyday low prices. They've served southeastern Wisconsin for over 60 years. They've always been locally owned and family operated. Hard to find things. That's what you can get at Discount Liquor, or you can just get the things that you're used to getting. That's what Discount Liquor brings to you. With 2 locations, 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha, and Barstow in Maine, Discount Liquor. Craig Karmazin.
Jen. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I literally had no idea until like that night when people called me and were like, you can't do that to people. Like, he was literally crying and we were playing 2-on-2 basketball.
Fridays with Mo.
He can't bench the bar.
No, he can now. He's been doing... Craig, what are you up to on the bench? You got to be up to what, like 145 now?
140? No.
I've been working out.
GKB President Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday.
The president of Good Karma Brands, Craig Karmazin, joins us as he does each and every Friday. You can listen to him Sunday Karma coming up this Sunday from 10 until noon. Good morning, Craig.
Not the president.
That's what the open says. I just go by with what the open says.
Just saying. I mean, you've worked in the company over half of your life at this point.
That's very true.
You're not president?
No.
Oh.
I'm the founder and CEO.
Okay.
I'll see the president.
Did you get your ring on Tuesday, or are you still waiting to get your ring?
No, I think my ring, you know, somewhere in the late November, early December, I think my ring comes. But I will be getting one.
Well, why not now? I don't...
I mean, there's supply chain issues, and, like, these are, like, big things, and I, you know, when they're ranking who needs to get it in time, like, I'm behind Jeff Teague.
I mean, Jeff Teague did get an A on a group project. Will yours have a QR code? Will there be, like, highlights of you cheering from your seat as part of the QR code
good
at the bottom
question.
Part of the ring?
Ooh, good question. Like, mine will be, like, me, like, wiring the money, like, when I invest it. Like, that'll be, like, the highlight of how I contribute to the team.
Well, I would say that one of the biggest highlights of your Bucks fan career is when we ran the go-to-a-game-with-Craig Bucks promotion, and the fan ended up, like, padding the pile after Chris Middleton hit a game-winning shot, and there was a dog pile right in front of your seats at the old Bradley Center.
Yep. Oh, as well, that would be in my highlight film, as would the incessant text that I was sending last year saying we needed to trade for PJ Tucker. So I think that would be my highlight. I think we figured out my entire highlight reel.
Will you wear the ring as a necklace, since the ring is dual purpose? And I feel like the necklace is a more...
No, it's not a ring. It has a purpose for anything but as a ring.
But I feel it's more practical to wear as a necklace, Greg.
Yeah.
I don't think I will ever wear it in any way, shape, or form. I think it's something that you more bring places, you know, with the size and scale of it. I mean, people's hands were bleeding at the game the other night from wearing the thing for an hour. I mean, that's how big it is and how many diamonds are. It was literally within an hour of wearing it, it draws blood. And these are on much tougher men's hands than me. So I think what
Wait a minute. Why does it draw blood? It's not tight.
Diamonds, it's so big. It is massive.
All right.
And the diamonds are wedging into your other fingers
because
it is so big.
So it's drawing blood from the other fingers other than the ring finger.
Yeah, not the ring finger.
Okay, I was about to say. I was very confused.
No, but the diamonds are so, I mean, this thing is so massive. And I have little, like, you know, like, all my fingers look like, you know, my pinky finger. Like, I don't have these massive hands. So I'm picturing it with the potential to, like, to crush my entire hand. But either way, I don't think I would be the one to wear the ring. I think it's more like I'll have to play the, like, hey, do you want me to bring it? Because I know people want to see it. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, they asked me to bring it, even though I'll kind of be excited to bring it. But I'll try to play it that way.
Do you think this is going to be a new trend where other teams start to have the dual-purpose ring? Just because I think players, I think about, like, the ESPYs. Like, if Giannis or Chris Middleton or Jrue Holiday next year go to the ESPYs, I feel like wearing the championship ring as a necklace is a more, it's an easier accessory than the big ring.
Dude, it's an amazing idea. And the Los Angeles Lakers had worked with this company, and, you know, the Lakers had recommended this company to the Bucks. And, you know, so all of the teams talk to each other when it comes to this stuff. So I just don't know, because assuming the Bucks are going to be getting rings done again next year, I don't know if you do the same thing. I guess you see how many people wear them this year, and that's how you decide next year if you want to do the same thing and make it into a pendant again next year when they make the rings.
How much does last night's Bucks Heat game matter?
I don't think it can matter at all. I guess if you're talking, I don't know what it matters. If you're saying how much could it matter, it could be the difference between having home court advantage and not having home court advantage and losing a game seven in a postseason series. Like, that's how much it could matter if you assume that home court matters by 2 or 3 points in a big game. So it could be the difference between, you know, winning a championship and not winning a championship. But likely it won't matter at all.
But Miami could be good. I mean, they've...
Yeah.
To me, there's no question where you know where the Bucks are, but the question is that how good might Miami be this year?
I mean, I think Miami, if they stay healthy, like if you have Kyle Lowry healthy at the end of the season, and if Bam Adebayo is playing with the confidence that he had early in last season and not the shell of himself that we saw, you know, by the end of the year and in the postseason, Miami is an incredibly tough out, and they aren't just the Eastern Conference Finals candidate. They're a legitimate candidate to win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I guess by the time I tuned in last night, Craig, like, they were losing by a bunch, and it's like, okay, it's October, I really don't care. Like, I'm going to watch a ton of Bucks regular season games. I'm going to be entertained by them, but ultimately the Bucks have entered Packers territory where we know they're going to be in the postseason. How good are they going to be in the postseason?
Right, but the beauty of last year was, I think, people who went along for the whole ride, like you guys did. Like, I remember you doing the topic, like, what are the things that matter? Like, what are we watching for in the regular season to see them get better with? Like, there's a different level of appreciation if you understand, like, watching Jordan Wara, you know, grow into the role that he may or may not have on this team. You know, watching what Grayson Allen is and learning what he does as a player. Seeing, you know, Semi Ojeleye once he comes back from injury, what kind of impact he can have. And, you know, I think there's so many interesting things because I think this team is a deeper team than last year's team. So I think getting to know the personality of what this team is like and getting to see how Giannis seemingly may even be a little better based on, you know, how he peaked at the end of the last season. So I think if you love basketball, it's just so fun to watch a team evolve who's already so good.
Let's move on over to the Green Bay Packers. Do you trust the 5-1 Green Bay Packers?
You are what your record is, but and I don't think there's, you know, so many teams. Like, there's good teams up and down the NFC, and I said before the season that I thought every team in the NFC West was a Super Bowl contender. So there's a lot of teams that could be there. I keep thinking, I don't think the Packers are that good, but when you have Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game, I still like their chances against just about everyone. If the Buccaneers secondary is as banged up as they are, I like the Packers' chances right now, but they don't feel like a 5-1 team. But to me, again, there's not a lot of teams that they're going to match up with that I'll say, oh, they have no chance again.
So they're 5-1. They've covered in all 5 wins. Like, what else do you want from this team? I mean, Craig, good teams win, but great teams cover. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, it's bizarre, right? And, you know, I don't know if, again, depending on if you got the Packers at -2.5 against the Bengals, right?
But they didn't lose. They did not lose it. Yes, they didn't lose against the spread in that game, though.
Right. All the complaints about the defense, Homer's thing, like, you can't win without a top defense. Like, Homer's right. So, like, at some point that comes back to get you, right? And I don't know when it is.
Next 5 games, you know, after this one.
But like, it, once they're in the postseason, like, you know, you have, again, you assume, like, the 15-1 team lost randomly to the Giants, right? Like, that's what I keep thinking about when Homer says it, and it's branded in my head, right? Like, if you don't have an elite defense, someone in the postseason is going to beat you, even a team who you think has no chance to beat you.
Finally, Craig, before we let you go this morning, with Halloween coming up, and we're going to get into this a little bit because Homer had to step in for Greg Scalzo, and he was talking with Ben Brust a couple of days ago on Scalzo and Brust here on 94.5 ESPN. And Ben found out that Homer stole some of his kids' Halloween candy when they were little. Do you steal some of Harper's Halloween candy after she comes back from trick-or-treating?
No, I mean, it's we work on trades throughout. I mean, I have a, you know, I've been working this for years, so I have the chart. So, like, I am not going to get, like, a bad trade because I know she doesn't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. But so, and I know what they're worth on the trade value chart.
Yeah, they're way and up there. She undervalues right. the, I mean, man, you are getting
exactly.
a steal.
Exactly.
You're taking advantage of your young daughter.
I'm not taking advantage. I'm just trying to win the trade. I mean, like, if she, in her mind, if she's winning, you know, if she takes two Dum Dums in exchange for a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and she's happy with it, then I know I'm winning on the trade value chart, then I'm not stealing candy from a baby, but I'm just, you know, clearly outmaneuvering candy from a baby.
It's worth than taking it.
Appreciate the time, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Garberson joins us each and every Friday right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Is every day a struggle? Will your car not start? Are you going to be late again? If these are concerns for you, Ewald Automotive Group is the place you need to go. It's easy with Ewald Automotive Group. They've been doing this for over 56 years. You go to their website, ewaldauto.com. You can book your appointment. And the customer is delighted after realizing how easy it is to make that online appointment. Plus, you can go ahead and ask around. See if you can get a lower price for service anywhere else. If you can, bring it to Ewald, and Ewald will match it. Maybe you've decided, okay, winter's coming. I'm going to move on from this car that I cannot trust. Well, you could save money. Get overbooked value with your trade-in and get quick and easy financing with Ewald Automotive. Ewald makes it easy. You'll be ready to go. Just go to ewaldauto.com.
Listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Because I saw the report this morning on the TV. It says, does not require...
What? You sounded so damn old. I saw the report this morning on the old TV.
It says he is going to need surgery. I've torn my meniscus. You've torn your meniscus.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse? No, well,
we have a surprise in the studio right now, as it is being revealed to us right now, as Peter Fagan, president of the Milwaukee Bucks, is here in studio with us, and he has brought with him, oh wow, the box that holds the championship ring, and there is a rotating platform. So when you open up the box, the ring continues to spin around and around. This looks awesome, man.
This is awesome. This is awesome. Let's take it off. You've got to feel the girth of this thing.
Oh wow. This has some real heft to it.
It's a boulder.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you could do some damage with this.
Pass it back and forth so you can both get the descriptives.
It's hard to believe. The first thing, those aren't real diamonds. They can't be.
They're diamonds.
No. I've seen these things on TV. These can't be real diamonds. There's too many of them.
I hope they're real diamonds. So then the coolest thing is, you know, we designed this, and you might have seen it. So you're pushing the two tops.
Yep, and it pops off.
The top comes up. You've got a QR code.
Okay, so what is your QR? So as the president of the Bucks, what is your QR code?
So my QR code goes through the history of the Bucks, and then some key videos like I just loved. So I was able to kind of preemptively pick some videos. But as people open up their rings and want certain videos or want chapters in time, like, it's an open book. We can put whatever they want
on
their QR code. So we preloaded some simple stuff for everybody. Assuming
is this the first ring like that with such
first ring with it, and then what?
And they'll all be done with this now.
Yeah. So then what happens is it also becomes a pendant. It flips out. And
so with
you can
that,
wear this as a necklace with a pendant.
So I think that's one of the coolest things about this is that it has the dual purpose because, I mean, the championship ring, we've got Mark Chmura, who's usually in with us. He said, I think he said he's worn his Super Bowl ring from 1996 like once, and it just sits in a display on his house. And this is a giant ring that I think is tough to wear, but to kind of wear it out, I think wearing it as a necklace, like I'm thinking of like Giannis next year at the ESPYs. I think like him wearing this as a pendant on a necklace would be something that would look really cool.
I think it's going to be one of the new things. You know, people will want to wear it as jewelry. People want to wear it out on the ring, and it'll be shown a lot more. No question about it. But I would say if you've got little hands and you're normal size and you've got a ring like this, you might as well just wear it all the time.
How often are you going to be wearing this?
My wife says not often, but I think often. Yeah.
I mean, I think it looks good. I mean, it goes great with the hoodie.
You could also use the entire ring as a pendant.
You could hang it on a chain and then just be bent over.
Yes,
and like the whole time, start getting your back injury.
Well, I was about to say, you're really going to have to do some like neck exercises at the gym to kind of strengthen up the neck if you want to wear the whole thing as a necklace.
I have one other question. I think they're more than 300 diamonds. I think that's they got to count them again.
Oh, there are. There are a few more. It actually represents the number of wins since Mark West and Jamie bought the team. So it's
I didn't hear that part.
Oh, so there's a whole narrative to a lot of like what we have on this. The 16 gems around the emeralds are the 16 wins in the playoffs to get through like our total number of wins. There are 50 gems like in the center piece that are the 50 years between championships. The narratives are pretty cool, which is also embedded in the QR code that you can download, is the history and the uniqueness and the narrative of the ring. I mean, this ring business has become so, I mean, the pressure. You've got pressure to win an NBA championship, and then right up there is, how do you
innovate a ring? Now the pressure's on you to make this cool.
So will everybody be able to buy a ring that looks like that?
Yes. Yes, and I think everybody will. I would say the way we've described it is there are four tiers of rings, you know, based on sizes and prices. So, and there's a retail version that everybody will get it, and then every employee, every full time employee, and everybody who worked the playoffs will get a ring from the organization as we go forward.
That's pretty. So. When are you going to unveil like the different tiers and the ones that could potentially be available to fans?
They're all out. They're all out online. You can go on the Bucks app. You can go out on Bucks.com. They're at our retail location. So it's very turkey. It's all ready to purchase. And they're great paperweights. They're great cufflinks. They're great pendants. I mean, you name it, you can buy it.
And Maya, what's it like? What's the biggest change of being woo champion? I mean, to me, I feel the same as the day the Bucks won it.
I think it's like you're unprepared for it because you don't know what the feeling is like, so you're learning everything new. I think on the business side, it's an incredible opportunity, and I say it like this. I said for our experience, you know, in the last 6 years, we have been doing a lot of outbound selling and calling and ticket selling, and then for the first time, what this does in winning on a world
stage—they call you.
It's like welcome to answering the phone for the first time, which is fantastic to get. And then you really have this unbelievable opportunity because you literally are—you know—we're this small market team that all of a sudden is—you know—if we're not one, two, or three in every metric in the NBA and on social media, you know, on retail, on everything else, it's incredible. And how do you take that and kind of continue in our world today to expand the brand globally in a big way? So it's a huge opportunity.
And to have Giannis just multiplies that exponentially.
I mean, it is the Giannis effect. You know, like when you talk about where this sport is going and kind of the audience grows exponentially overseas, you know, specifically in Europe and Asia. And Giannis is the poster child of the NBA internationally.
So, one, I guess, do you have anything else you want to add before we let you go? I know you're going to be hopping over with our friends over on WTMJ and displaying the ring over there with them as well. Like, what do you want people to know as we are now two games into the defense of that championship ring?
Well, I think we had a tough game last night in Miami, but we have a great deep team. I think there's real power in experiencing what it takes to win a championship, and I think it's, you know, it's kind of the promise of what these owners said when they bought the team. Like, we want a championship caliber team, you know, and that's what we're going to stage and we're going to have. And it's true. You know, you want to be in contention for a championship every year. The good news is when you have Giannis on your team, you kind of can be up there, you know, as like, you know, one of the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 teams in the league. So, you know, for us, it's constant improvement and continuing to kind of take this opportunity and kind of just really blow it out over the world.
I need a little help. I like to buy a used car under $1,000. What tier do you think I should look at?
You are in big trouble. This is not your market. You know, I used to be in the private aviation business, and people used to start talking. God, boy, I'd love to fly privately. You know, then their mind, you can see that they were starting to try to figure out the math of what a first class ticket would be and everything. And I would stop them right away. And I said, if you're doing that math, you're not a customer, like to get it done. So I'll say the same thing to you. Yes. If you're looking for what the gas consumption is on your car, you're not in the market for a championship ring.
Thank you.
Just take care of that right away. Yeah. Speaking of taking care of stuff, first of all, thank you so much for stopping in. Peter Fagan, president of the Bucks. I mean, the display of the ring is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it is. It's kind of the wow effect. I mean, this has really become. I mean, it is the creation, the design, the execution, the fulfillment of the ring is production and drama. And the jeweler, Jason from Beverly Hills, who's done this, you know, several dozen times, has really kind of continued to perfect it in like such a way. And it's kind of it mirrors like what we want this team and this brand and the city to resemble the best. And it really is like this ring is kind of it's ridiculous, number one. but it really is kind of it'll be the new, you know, baseline for what goes forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It looks awesome. Peter Fagan, thank you for bringing that championship ring in. Everybody now, stop what you're doing and listen. October is Palermo's Pizza Month here on 94.5 ESPN. We're keeping it simpler than ever. We're giving away 2 free pizza coupons each hour, which is happening right now. Callers 2 and 4, 800-990-3776. That Palermo's Pizza is all yours. Callers 2 and 4. Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Check out ESPNWisconsinContest.com for official contest rules. Happy Palermo's Pizza Month.